We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build.
This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves,
no matter where they came from.
Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
it. I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless.
Hello and welcome back, you guys. We are here in the Virtually Limitless family to drop another incredible episode on this podcast. And guys, I have the one, the only Laura Belgrade today. She is here. She is the talking shrimp, the founder, creator of like just an incredible not only brand but legacy that she's impacting people across the world. She spends the winter in warm places, you guys. I'm super jealous. I'm in Minnesota and she knows how to get away to where the fun is at. So with that, Laura, I'm so excited we get to connect and share our conversation here on the podcast today. How are you?
I am great. And thank you so much for having me, Justine. First of all, I love your energy. Way to bring
thank
it.
You.
Second, couple of things we have to go over. Okay, so first of all,
okay.
Warm climate. I'm not sure we have the right place for me. I'm in Sag Harbor, New York right now. I go back and forth between here and New York City where it's, you know, it's not the coldest it could be. It's not where you are. But,
got it. I thought you were in like the beaches warm. That's where I was like palm trees. That's what I had in mind.
Sag, maybe I just give off that vibe.
Yes. The yellow, the brightness, the yellow. Like that's what I was feeling. So maybe I was a little off. Sorry, but I'm feeling that for you, my friend.
I mean, thank you. I'm feeling that for me too. I would love to be there. And then I'm not the talking shrimp. It's just talking shrimp. And the only reason I make that distinction is because it's not like, I don't see myself as like the mascot of the brand. I don't see myself as the talking shrimp or a talking shrimp. The brand name came about in a strange way that has nothing to do with me or my height. We were talking about this before. You're like,
yes.
Talking shrimp. I relate to that so much because I'm 5 feet tall. I'm 5'4", so I'm no giant, but it was really more, it's not the most sexy story. It was really a factor of my accountant telling me, over 10 years ago in 2009, that my husband and I should incorporate because we had just gotten married and gotten reamed in taxes. And he was like, you know, pick a name. It doesn't, I don't care what it is. Just make it, preferably something with an available URL in case you want to use it. And so we looked up a bunch of URLs and my husband's in restaurants. I'm in writing, pick something that could apply to either of us or neither of us, had nothing to do with anything. So talking shrimp, you wouldn't believe it. Would you believe that talking shrimp wasn't taken? So scoop that one up.
Oh,
and here we
my
are.
Gosh, that is so incredible. And I love that you share the story behind that because so many times, Laura, I want you to speak to this because so many people are stuck not taking that step, not taking the move forward because they don't have the perfect biz name. They don't have the perfect, tagline or catchphrase or, you know, something like that. And right now this is a dawn of a lot of new businesses as a result of everything that's happened in 2020. I would just love for you to share, like, you just shared that so wonderfully, like, hey, there's nothing fancy about it. It just happened and we went with it. Like,
yeah,
so cool.
So unintentional. Everybody talks about being intentional in your business. This was absolutely unintentional. My business was accidental, pretty much. They say that ignorance is bliss. I would agree. It is. Ignorance is also action because I did it. I'm just making that up right now. I'm just thinking about it. I took action because I didn't know what I didn't know. And that was really helpful back then. I didn't know that your business should be named something that it like should have a name that indicates what you do. Or be your name. I didn't know any of that. I didn't even intend to create a business. It was just for tax purposes. And I had a I had a job. I was writing for TV. I wrote TV promos. I had no intention ever of becoming a boss, of creating a team. Still, that doesn't appeal to me. Having a business, I thought of a business as something with like blueprints and a business plan that you had to pitch to people and raise money. And then, you know, I didn't know what a business could be, and I had no idea that I was capable of having one. So not knowing any of that and not having any direction, being able to be like, oh, whatever, call it whatever. Hey, that URL is available. That was the greatest gift of all time. And then soon after, as I was friends with Marie Forleo, who I work with now on a program called The Copy Cure, she's a dear friend of mine and has been for many years. And when I was creating my, when I was creating the website, I was like, okay, I'll use talkingshrimp.com. Why not? Sure. For my website, I'll use it to host my reel for TV so that I can, I mean, this was like the dawn of online video that you could actually upload stuff. So I was like, this is incredible.
Instead of paving the way for all of that. Oh, I love it.
Well, it was also just instead of sending, the big idea was instead of sending a DVD to, or it might have been a CD-ROM then even, to producers and places to get work to show them my spots and send it in the mail, which I'm incapable of. I hate mail. I will put it online. And so that's what I was going to do with Talking Shrimp. And Marie comes into this because, A, I enrolled for her course, which was called Online Mastery. It was just, I mean, can you imagine something more vague? Yes. But back then it was like... 2009, you could call a program Online Mastery and people would sign up. Mm-hmm. And I was friends with her. She had her shit together. She just knew how to do life.
She's incredible.
And so I thought, I don't know why I was joining it, but I was like, should I join your program? Maybe it'll get me out of my creative rut. Maybe I'll have more ideas or think of like what I should do next. She was like, of course you should. I was like, it'll help me be more successful. She's like, of course it will. Mm-hmm. So that's why I joined it. And in that program, I heard her say, like, you should name your business after your name. You should call it your name. You should get a URL of your name. Yep. And so I had a whole crisis of confidence around Talking Shrimp. Then once I learned that you had to do, you know, that you had to name it intentionally. And I was like, should I don't know what I should do. Should I call it laurabelgrade.com? Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh no, keep Talking Shrimp. She's like, she's like, it's different. She's like, it's just such a good name. It feels like you, just keep it.
Well, and it's so funny. I'm happy I did. It made me so curious because it wasn't your name. And a lot of the people that I had the privilege of working with or interviewing, they kind of follow the status quo. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. It's Talking Shrimp. And I didn't know the story behind it, but I love, you know, it's one of those things, you guys, if you're listening to this, maybe you are more of a creative that doesn't know it all and just really wanting to look at business right now. Laura is a huge testimony that you don't have to have it all together. Like amazing humans like Marie Forleo did 9 years ago, right? Yeah, at the dawn of this whole age, right?
Yes.
You can do it messy. And the greatest thing about any copy, any ability of creating know, like, and trust with your clients, your people, your product, like, you have to be you. And so I love how you've just so embodied everything about your story. You're like, yeah, it wasn't perfect. Yeah, it wasn't exactly what textbook said, but hey, this is me. And I think that's just so contagious, so infectious. And it's one of those things that you allowed yourself to grow through that self-sabotaging moment. We all have them. I literally did a rebrand for myself. I started as a VA, had just made solutions. And like, that was where I was going. But then I was like, well, goodness, that's not actually what I am called to do. And I changed and redid everything for Justine Mader because I wanted to have more of that umbrella approach for everything I'm doing. So it's one of those things that growing through that moment of self-sabotage is probably something that someone's going through right now. Can you share, Laura, maybe just one or two things that really helped you grow through that and accept that this is what you were going to do, this is how you were going to be, and you weren't going to let, you know, anything else hold you back?
Yeah. Well, which part are you referring to when you say self-sabotage? Because I love this topic.
I want to say more the mindset of I'm not doing what everyone else is doing. That's what I would love for you to touch on.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the self-sabotage comes in where you say, oh, I have to do what everyone else is doing. Mm. Or when you refuse, or when you, on the other side of it, when you refuse to do what everyone else is doing, even though it works, and you're just like, well, that's not, it's not going to work for me. That's not going to work for me.
I hadn't even thought of that yet.
Whoa, guys,
that's incredible. That is so incredible. And how many times can we find our, if we're intentional reflecting, right? As we're growing as a person, as we're growing as a business owner or any of those things, like, wow, I need a mic drop like sound effect because like, I'm still processing just the greatness of that, Laura. That was so powerful. So if you guys are listening to that, you may need to listen to that part again and ask yourself genuinely. I know I'm going to have to, but the thing with self-sabotage, and I love that you asked that question. So, directly to me too, because self-sabotage could be something different for everybody. It could be, and I've seen this a lot actually with brick and mortars. They know the online space is where they need to go, but they don't want to go there. And they're just like, no, I'm not going to do it. Just because everybody else is doing it, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I feel like you want to share something on that too. Go ahead. I want to hear it.
No, that's absolutely true. And I've been guilty of that through a lot of my business. Mm-hmm. And for many years, I wasn't satisfied with my business. So as I mentioned before, I started in TV and that was a great career. And it was a dream job for me, like writing these little things about, like watching lots of TV and writing little things about it that go during the commercials. Incredible job, but I got complacent and just started to, I mentioned the creative rut before, like after 15 years or so, I was like, it is time to, I have more to say. I'm not sure how, I'm not sure what I'm not at all sure what I want to do. So I ended up, because I knew Marie, really segueing into the online world and taking online clients, private clients. And it paid really well because I kept raising my prices and I had enough demand to support
raising
that.
Raising her prices, y'all. Yes. Own your worth. I love that. Go ahead.
And it was great. And I was really always so grateful, like, oh, how amazing is this that I get paid to be a writer? They're so, you know, we grow up thinking if we say like, we're going to be a writer, people will say, well, it's very, you know, very slim chances that you're going to have a bestseller or that you're going to get a screenplay made or whatever. And we think those are the ways to get paid as a writer. And then here I discovered like different ways of getting paid to write. Having online copywriting clients was one of them, but I was still feeling squirrely. I was still feeling like, well, this still isn't me being me getting paid to be me. And that is really what I wanted. But I also at the same time was rejecting all the ideas of around scaling, around taking my business in different directions, create a product, create a course, do group coaching. I was like, no, those things are for other people. I just don't want to get
This is a word for someone right now. Oh my gosh. Yes. Keep going.
Yeah. So I was just like, I don't want to do webinars and I still don't. And I still reject webinars. And that's total self-sabotage because I'm sure they would do great.
I think she just confessed, you guys. I mean, like she just put it out there.
Oh, absolutely.
I haven't done a webinar yet either, but yes, I know that's in the inevitable future, but yes, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a lot that I won't take on. And some of that I'm like, good, you know, good for me. I'm actually leading the way in not doing the things that I don't want to do. But some of the things are, you know, when everyone's like, step out of your comfort zone. And I'm just like, I love my comfort zone, but it does pay.
Don't we all?
It does pay to I look at it this way, bring things into my comfort zone that were outside of it. So I don't like the act of like being uncomfortable, stepping outside it, dancing with the fear, all that stuff. But it is worth it to actually get good at something and bring it into my comfort zone. And so, you know, after many years of business, after around 10 years of business, of private clients and making my living that way mostly, I finally said, okay, I'm going to create a course of my own. I already had the copy cure with Marie, but I wanted to be able to do this to say like, I know how to do this. So I created.
Oh, I know that feeling all too well.
I didn't want to be a dependent. That's a scary thing to be. That's what you are when you work for a corporation. So, so I created Inbox Hero, which is an email copywriting course. And that I was able to launch to multiple six figures. I was like, oh my gosh, I can do this. This is a why, you know, of course, like, why did I wait so long to do this?
Right.
Well, because I just, you know, reject everything that even
I chose not to.
Right. I chose not to. And I created a group program, Shrimp Club. And that is another, like, between those two things and doing affiliate launches, which I've been doing for a while.
Sure.
I was able to make on my own $1 million in a year at age 50. So that was very gratifying. I'm a late bloomer. I think a history of self-sabotage that I feel like I was finally able to overcome in large part. And I know that's a big thing for me to say, because I always considered myself a stuck person and didn't really believe in change. And now I do. Oh. I'm like, oh, I believe that we can change, maybe at any age even. And that's pretty exciting.
Oh my gosh, you are such an inspiration. You know, how's that saying go? You can sometimes teach an old dog new tricks, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, I think the biggest thing that I feel through your story is that it really boils down to your choice. Mm-hmm. It really boils down to what you're willing to allow in your life. Are you willing to allow yourself to go outside your comfort zone? Or you're like, you know what, this isn't the season for me. I think that a lot of people right now realize that their comfort zone, whether it was through corporate or losing a job because of the pandemic and different things, like, I feel like so many people were focusing on the exterior forces dictating their life.
Yeah.
Versus realizing, like you so clearly said, I was deciding what I was going to bring back into my comfort zone. And you illustrated that so beautifully. Like, what am I going to bring back to be a part of my new, like, be a new asset in my world? And I think that that's just something for everyone listening today to sort out what it is that you're willing to give. What is it that you're willing to actually do to accomplish the million, the billion, the trillion? I don't care. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter. You know, is that a million people? Is that $1 million? It doesn't even matter to me. What is that for you? Right. And I think Laura so clearly demonstrated that for her, it was really just allowing herself to be her through the entire thing. So I would love for people to know too, you have these courses, you have these affiliate launches, and you've basically proved to yourself that you can do all these things. What was the biggest driving point for you? Like, so many people talk about being impact driven and, you know, being a serving entrepreneur. What was it, you know, proving to yourself that you could do it that really drove you home? Or was it, you know, serving other people that really inspired you to get up every single day? I would just love to know what fuels your energy, because at your age, so many times the people that I see at your age, they're just done. They're just, they've let their flame go out. And I'm like, how do I spark that? Like, I just want to, like, how do we do that? So how do you do that, Laura? I would love to hear.
Yeah, I don't have the same driving vision or big why that a lot of other entrepreneurs do, where they're all like, I want to change the world. I want to impact millions of people. I love having an impact on people's lives. I love it when they write to me and say, like, what you said the other day actually caused a shift that changed my whole life. And I'm not even exaggerating. I mean, that's huge to me and so gratifying. However, it's not what drives me in the first place. It's not what gets me out of bed. And I'll tell you, I had a moment just a couple of years ago. It was 2017. It was January. And I remember it was January 6th. And my friend Selena Sue invited me to attend this productivity workshop.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, that sounds pretty good. That sounds kind of like what I need, because I need to change things up. I need to do things differently. I'm not going to do it unless I'm more productive. Mm-hmm. So I attended this productivity workshop, and it was like a group of us sitting around on the floor with, they gave us like different colored composition notebooks. And the main thing that we did that day was a future pacing exercise, a writing exercise.
Oh.
Most people listening probably have heard of. Apparently, this is very common. I think it's called the painted picture exercise. And you picture your life 5 years from now. And like, what are you, you know, each question is a little bit different about your day or about your life. Like, what does your work day look like? What exactly are you doing for work throughout the day? What do your relationships look like? What does your home look like, et cetera? The home stuff, you know, and relaxation, those parts of it, those were very easy. They just involved a lot of luxury that I picture all the time. And then the work part of it, it involved like telling somehow getting paid to write emails because I loved writing emails, getting paid somehow to tell stories about my life, but it wouldn't always be a copywriting or marketing lesson. I didn't want to spend all day talking about like three tips to better copy. That's a big thing of mine, but I didn't want that to be, that's not all I have to talk about. And the workday that I pictured did not at all involve getting on the phone or on Zoom with clients, not at all. It involved telling stories and somehow getting paid for that. And it was like something like, and going on stages also. I was like, I guess I kind of want to be Liz Gilbert, although less spiritual. I'm not that soulful, but but like the career that she has, it looked amazing. And I've always wanted to write my book. And part of my day that I pictured was like going on podcasts and talking about my book. I had not written a book. So this whole vision that I created, let me know, like once I got specific about it, I had to admit to myself, I don't want to take clients anymore. That's not the work I want to be doing. Wow. I want to get paid to write emails. I want to be on stages talking about my book. So that means I have to A, start emailing my list consistently and somehow make those emails pay, maybe sell more in them, have something to sell.
Sure.
B, I have to write my book. I have to finally really sit down and write my book. And the other thing that I realized, and this is like the big moment that kind of shifted everything, was I was tired of being introduced and referred to as so-and-so's copywriter. Like, this is Laura. She's, you know, Marie Forleo's copywriter, which was a misconception anyway. I was not Marie's copywriter. We wrote things together. We were like co-writers, but she's an incredible copywriter in her own right. But I didn't want to be defined in relation to someone else. I didn't want to be anyone's anything. I wanted to be known as Laura fucking Belgray, period, writer. So that created a whole shift where I was like, if I want to do that, first of all, I have to retire my services, like no more services. I have to find a way to replace that income. I have to do things that, I have to create things that speak for me as a, you know, my intellectual property, that build authority. I've got to get on stages. I've got to get on podcasts. I've got to write guest posts and get in the media and create more of a name for myself.
Absolutely.
So I started doing that and it really paid off. It worked. And so now I feel like way more of a name in my own right. And I have a book deal. I have a book coming out in 2022 with Hachette. Called Tough Titties.
Oh my gosh. Yay.
And you know, all of that helped build my list. I started all the consistency that I started putting into emails paid off in that I built a relationship with my list, a very reliable one, and
so good.
Very strong connection, so that I have very engaged, I call them shrimpers, and they buy from me. They're great buyers. So I'm able to make a living. That's how I made that million, is that, and what fueled me was getting paid to be me, getting paid to express myself in my voice, with my words, speaking on my behalf. So it's way more of a, I think, self-centered. Significance driven, you know, why, and I'm comfortable with that.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, the thing is that it wouldn't be any good if it wasn't true.
Right.
It's raw, it's real, it's genuine, you guys. I feel that, you know, and I think that that's why your shrimpers feel it too. They're like, oh my gosh, Laura is, you know, sharing not only her heart and soul, but this is Laura in these words. This is Laura. Like, oh my gosh, I feel like I, you know, you probably, people that meet you in real life that have been a shrimper for a while, they're like, oh, she hasn't changed. She's the exact same way that she was in her emails, on her stories, on her stages. And that's what so many people misunderstand in this quote unquote game that business is. We don't have to be anything but ourselves. And that's the greatest trademark. Is being ourselves. And the only reason and the only way that we can create that know, like, and trust is if we consistently show up. And like you said, you know, put yourself in places where you can grow. That productivity opportunity with Selena Sue, who is a queen, by the way, shout out to Selena.
Yeah, she is.
Like, that changed your life. But if we don't allow ourselves to put ourselves intentionally in places that cause us to grow a little bit, right? Make us a little uncomfortable. Wow, that is such a testimony to doing that in your life. Not talking about it, but doing it. And so I hope this inspires someone listening today. If there's something that you're thinking about, you should probably be doing it versus thinking it, just saying. Because Laura has obviously shown, not only through her story, but in the future that she's creating for herself. I'm super excited for your book, books coming out. It's just, it's so amazing to see how everyone is just expanding, especially in this age of pain. I feel like there's been a lot of pain for people. I love the message of hope that you bring to the table, Laura. So thank you so much for your inspiration. And I know people are going to need more of you in their life and their business. And when your book comes out, they're going to go crazy. I want to make sure that they know all of the greatest places to follow you and be a part of what you have coming out soon.
Oh yeah. Okay. So, best place to start is talkingshrimp.com. That's my website. That's where you get on my list that I've been talking about. I do write great emails, as you'll see, advertised on the site, the only emails anyone opens and reads anymore. That's my own, that's my own claim, but people do tell me, people back that up and they say yours are the only emails I read. So I feel confident
results
making that
to
bold
prove
claim.
It. Yes. Results to prove it, y'all.
And I have freebies there, like my non-sucky subject lines guide, that's free. But one thing that you can do right now, like this is an incredible window. This is great timing because as this comes out, the Copy Cure that I mentioned before is open. That is my signature copywriting program with Marie Forleo. It has grown into just the most incredible comprehensive course. We have guest master classes, all kinds of bonuses. And that is open until Wednesday, April 7th. And awesome. I mean, I encourage anybody who wants to communicate better in their business, who wants to write words that make people excited about them, that sound like them and not businessy and not salesy, that sound like them and make people want what they have to offer, make people say, I need that, the Copy Cure. That's where you want to come.
Ooh, you guys, you don't want to be telling people that they need it. You want them to be telling you, hey, I need this. So you need to get to Laura. I'm telling you, you need to, because you're probably not there yet, but you're going to go check it out. You're going to go see it and you'll be like, yeah, I need this. So no excuses, you guys. All those links are in the show notes. No excuses. They're there. We've got you covered and we're going to make sure that you get everything that Laura has to offer. Get on those amazing lists of hers. And Laura, we're so grateful that you were here on the Virtually Limitless podcast. It was absolutely incredible to have you.
It was so great to be here, Justine. I have to give you props for your interviewing skills, like the energy you bring to it. And somehow I don't know, you pulled out a story from me that I had no plans. I didn't know where this was going to go.
And we didn't script you guys. I love this. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. That means the world to me. That means the world to me. And we try to bring all the greatest value here. So hopefully that means we're on the right track. So thank you so much for that, Laura. I appreciate it. You guys, be sure to tune in again. We're going to be hitting our 100th episode coming soon. Super excited for you guys to have that released. Thanks again. We'll see you next time.
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.